Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 11 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. You don't want to miss the insane inflatable 5K. It's coming up Saturday, May 20th at Middleton Woodlands in West Ashley, brought to you by our friends at Hoover Mitsubishi and sponsored by Blue Choice Health Plan Medicaid, Charleston Healthy Business Challenge, and Health Source. You can register right now at WTMA.com. One of the most exciting 5Ks that you will ever take part in. Now, everybody is all upset over the firing by Donald Trump of Jim Comey, who head the FBI. So now Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe is the top guy in charge there at the FBI. Is he impartial? This is, boy, I tell you what, why this stuff is allowed to happen. So you get the deputy director of the FBI, and is he bipartisan, or not even bipartisan, is he nonpartisan? Does he have any interest whatsoever in what's going on with this investigation by the FBI into possible collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians, which, by the way, we have seen no evidence of whatsoever. Even Dianne Feinstein says so. Everybody says so. No evidence whatsoever. None, 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 none. So, this guy, Andrew McCabe, is he nonpartisan? Well, it looks like he forgot to fill out a little bit of paperwork back in 2015. He did not list contributions from his wife to the Hillary Clinton campaign. Oops, doggone it. Doggone it. Hate that. Actually, as first reported in the Wall Street Journal, Governor Terry McAuliffe urged McCabe's wife to run for statewide office shortly after news reports were published that Hillary Clinton used the private email server and address for all of her government businesses, or for her government business, while she served as Secretary of State. For the reported period of October through November of 2015, Mrs. McCabe's campaign financing showed that she received $467,500 from Common Good Virginia, which is a political action committee controlled by Terry McAuliffe, as well as an additional $292,500 from another Democrat PAC. Now, one of these, some of these donations, I mean, they were coming from the people that were big Hillary Clinton supporters. They wanted Hillary to be president of the United States. And she's receiving, so all right, well, let's just do a little math. What, $700,000 from the Democrat? And you think that Andrew McCabe is going to be able to be nonpartisan? I think President Trump needs to do another firing here. I don't, if you are a member, a high-ranking official in the FBI, I don't think your wife needs to be running for office. I really don't. Because, so let's say there was some campaign irregularity and the FBI had to look into that. Do you really think the FBI agents would be, now they're supposed to be the number one law enforcement division on the planet. Do you really think they would be looking too heavily into the financial dealings of the wife of the second in command of the FBI? And how much of this are you seeing on the media? How much of this are you seeing on the media today? I'll give you that answer. None.
Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning, 7:21. 21 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. I don't know about you guys, but I am really enjoying Sarah Huckabee Sanders as the White House spokesperson over the past couple of days. I think she is tough as nails. I really like her. So this morning I was kind of going through some of the stories there, and the Associated Press, here was their headline. Where is Sean Spicer? Where is Sean Spicer? Now, we all know that the vast majority of people here throughout our great land only read the headlines and they make the story up. You know, oh, Sean Spicer's missing. Hey, hon, did you see this? Sean Spicer is missing. Apparently, he is very upset with Donald Trump. He's in hiding now. No, Sean Spicer is serving his reserve duty. He's a member of the reserves here in the United States, and every now and then you have to go serve your time there. So that's what he's doing. Sarah, but yet the Associated Press, they want you to think, see, they count on it. They count on you not reading the story. Well, not you, because we know you do. But they count on the vast majority of people in this country just reading the headlines and going on with their day, making up their own mind. So they can. This is how they push their narrative on the left. But I think Sarah Huckabee Sanders is just, boy, she's tough as nails. I really, really like her. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Charleston's own embarrassment, Stephen Colbert, responds to Trump saying that he has no talent.
The president of the United States has personally come after me and my show. And there's only one thing to say.
Mr. Trump,
there's a lot you don't understand. But I never thought one of those things would be show business. Don't you know I've been trying for a year to get you to say my name? And you were very restrained, admirably restrained, but now you did it. I won.
Yeah.
Oh, no! Oh,
no. No, you didn't win. So, there you go. That's, he continues to embarrass us. He really does. I don't know. 9-556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Going to be talking a little bit more about the gas tax coming up. Now, the House, they kind of wrapped everything up yesterday. They're going on vacation, I guess. And they were really patting themselves on the back yesterday for being the folks that raised the gas tax for the first time in 30 years. Some of them even talked about getting more done in less time because this year's term ends weeks earlier than some of the previous sessions. Jay Lucas of Hartsville said, everybody went into this session with a little trepidation, not knowing how the shortened session was going to be. So the anticipation was going to be that we might not get as much done. And when you look back over the last 4 months and you see we were able to pass a comprehensive roads bill in year one of a legislative session, that's certainly an outstanding accomplishment. Well, don't break your arm patting yourself on the back just yet. We're going to have to find out exactly when's this construction going to start? Now, we know, what is it, July 1st that these tax increases kick in, 2 cents a year for the next 6 years? Hopefully, they say it's going to raise $500 to $600 million to fix our roads. But we still have no idea when the actual construction is going to start. I want to see some shovels on the ground with our new money that we are paying to you guys to do what you should have been doing all along.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7:41, 19 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's switch things up a little bit and give away some tickets to the 47th Annual Greek Festival that is starting today, going to be going through Sunday at Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church downtown. They are going to have great music. They're going to have spectacular food. I tell you what, the folks from the Greek Festival showed up yesterday with some of those desserts. Oh, they were so good. It's a fun time. It's my favorite festival here in the Lowcountry. I'll take caller number 7 right now at 556-1250. That's 556-1250. You will win a 4-pack of tickets to the 47th Annual Greek Festival going on at Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church downtown. Seriously, it's a great, great time. So let's scroll through some of these phone calls right now, try to get to caller number 7 real quick and send somebody out to the 47th. Listen, you do something for 47 years, you're doing it right. You are doing it right, and that's what they do there at the Greek Festival. We'll say, good morning. Who is this?
Hey, it's Roger.
Roger, how you doing on this Friday?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, buddy. You just picked yourself up 4 tickets to the 47th Annual Greek Festival. How about that?
Sweet.
Yeah, have you ever been?
It's been a long time, but yeah, I've been.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. All right, buddy, going to put you on hold and get some information from you. John Quincy will take that, and you'll be headed to the 47th Greek Festival going on downtown at Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church. Seriously, it's a great, great time. All right, we got news this morning about the arrest of Ken Glasson. Now, back on, let me just double check here my timeline here. Back on April the 25th, we started hearing about an investigation at a Seabrook party, a party out at Seabrook. It was a house party, one of these prom parties, and we started hearing about underage drinking and inappropriate sexual activity, and Ken Glasson was named in this investigation. So according to an incident report that was provided by the sheriff's office, a complaint was received by a concerned person who stated that there was alcohol being consumed by minors and possibly some inappropriate sexual activity. So the investigator started trying to track down some of the folks that were at the party, and I guess they found some folks, but also listed on the incident report as chaperones were Ken Glasson Jr. and 51-year-old F. Kelly Hollowell of Mount Pleasant. Now, Hollowell, this is a chaperone at a house party. Hollowell was arrested in April of 2014 on a charge of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. So we were wondering if anybody was going to be charged with this, and it looks like Ken Glasson has been charged. And this, of course, comes from this party out at Seabrook. He has been charged with third-degree criminal sexual conduct. Now, the South Carolina Code of Laws defines third-degree sexual criminal conduct as the use of force or coercion to accomplish sexual battery in the absence of aggravating circumstances. And you can also be charged under the law if, quote, the victim is mentally defective, mentally incapacitated, or physically helpless, and aggravated force or aggravated coercion was not used to accomplish sexual battery. So Ken Glasson was arrested early this morning from what we're hearing, and he will have a bond hearing about 10 o'clock this morning. We'll be having more details on that throughout the day, I am sure. Let's go to Chris out in Somerville. I'm sure he wants to talk about what is going on in New Orleans. Chris, how are you?
Good morning, Charlie. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Listen, you know, you keep seeing these reports, and they are true about how France has fallen, Sweden has fallen, Germany has fallen.
Right.
That their culture, their society is being wiped away.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing is happening in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, I'm from New Jersey originally, but my mother, by the grace of God, was from Georgia. And, you know, that's why I'm down here.
Right.
And I know that I had family members on my mother's side that fought with the Confederacy.
Right.
And I'll tell you this right now, to remove this history, I mean, the monuments, the flag, we're allowing this. And I don't understand how in the South our elected officials are like, yeah, it's okay to wipe away our history. Let's just, you know,
yeah,
find some defensive, so let's do away with it.
Right.
It's a bigger issue than just the Confederacy. It's American history that's being taken away, rewritten to suit somebody else's agenda.
Right.
And so in my eyes, we're falling right along with Europe.
Well, I certainly don't agree with the taking down of monuments here in this country. But, Chris, what about like what happened out in Somerville yesterday where people were using, I saw some folks with a Black Lives Matter banner. One of the folks had an Antifa banner out there. One of them had an anarchy banner. And across the street, there were a bunch of folks waving Confederate flags. And one guy was driving through in a pickup truck and he was yelling white power. Where do we get beyond that?
Well, that's the problem, right? First of all, the Confederate flag is not a racist symbol, okay? As a matter of fact, just for a history lesson, the last state to free the slaves after the Civil War was Massachusetts in 1876.
Mm.
That was the last state to officially abolish slavery. The Black Lives Matter, they're just as racist as the guy yelling white power.
Right.
Okay, so you got two idiots on different sides of the fence.
Yeah.
But to have somebody, I heard that that you had to have a permit to give away these little Confederate flags that were being given away.
Yeah, that all stemmed from the Flower Town Festival in Somerville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That made me mad right off the bat, because if I want to give you something, why do I need permission from the government?
Yeah, well, here's the thing, though, but where I found that interesting, where, you know, they were giving away these little Confederate flags, but yet you go down and there was a cell phone carrier that was giving away koozies.
Exactly.
So what's the difference?
Well, we're allowing the government to dictate to us what is right and what is wrong. And we're giving away our freedoms with this. You know, if you find that Confederate flag offensive, don't accept it. Say, no, thank you. I don't want it.
Yeah.
But it's okay for these anti-whatever people to gather. It's okay for Black Lives to gather. But you let a bunch of white people who are and not all pro-Confederates are white. There were a lot of blacks.
Right. In fact, there was an African-American gentleman that was giving away those flags at the Flower Town Festival.
And there's also one that walked across, I don't think it was the whole country, but I think it might have been Texas, or no, it was South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
The black man walking with the Confederate flag.
Yeah.
In support of the flag when it was being taken down from the state house. So it's not a white issue, but I will say this. In this country right now, anything that has to do with white history is considered offensive and it's being abolished.
All right.
And that's just the way I see it. I'm not, you know, I'm not a supremacist at all. I'm just saying, you see anything associated with white. Diversity means non-white. Google posted a newsletter bragging that they hired less white people in 2016 than they did in 2015.
Right, like that's a badge of honor. Chris, I appreciate you calling in. I got to hit a break here.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. Just a couple minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. All right, so yesterday in Somerville, they had some protesters out there, and I saw pictures of, on one side of the street, you had folks with a Black Lives Matter banner, you had folks with a Antifa banner, the Antifa, the anti-fascist, as they say, who really are fascists themselves. And you had folks out there with an anarchy banner. On the other side of the street, you had people waving the Confederate flags. One jackleg was walking around or driving through in a pickup truck shouting, white power, okay, whatever, fine. You don't know what an idiot you looked like while you were doing that. But here's the thing. I mean, we have such divisiveness in this country, and I don't know where it's going to end. And I have a really bad gut feeling that it's going to end poorly. It's going to end poorly. You've got folks on the Black Lives Matter. Now, some of them, I mean, we've seen that, you know, they've been speaking out against police. They have incited violence in some places, but then so have the folks on the other side, the folks that are waving these Confederate flags. We're going to be talking about the Confederate flag coming up in just a minute, and I hate that we're going to do this, but we got to because of the news of the day.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. As we told you a little bit earlier this morning, Ken Glasson was arrested late last night on the charge of third-degree criminal sexual battery. Now, what that says is, let me get you the official definition here. It is force or coercion to accomplish sexual battery in the absence of aggravating circumstances. He will have a bond hearing at 10 o'clock this morning. Gary is out in Somerville. Gary, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
Along the lines of this Ken Glasson arrest, a few years ago, there was a high school senior, Marley or Marty Lyons,
mm-hmm.
that was at a party, drove West Ashley, parked in a parking lot, and was murdered. There has never been anyone charged in supplying the alcohol for that party. I've called one of the news stations in the area, and they have told me, I've called them probably 3 to 4 times. They have to find out who had the party, who supplied the alcohol, and I've never been able to get an answer.
Right.
So I'd like to see if something can be found out about that.
All right, we'll take a look into it. I appreciate it. Of course, that's got nothing to do with King Glasson and his arrest. Remember, he is 100% innocent until proven guilty. But there was the investigation starting, I think it was back on April the 25th, that they released this press release that they were investigating King Glasson as far as this party that went on out at Seabrook, where there was alleged underage drinking and suspicion, according to one witness, suspicion of inappropriate sexual activity. So we'll find out more about this today, I'm sure. Let's go to Jim in Mount Pleasant. Jim, how are you?
Hi, this is Jim.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Good. I was calling about the flag issue and racing history in general. I mean, I'm just a dumb Yank, and I know that that's not even the Confederate flag. That's the battle flag.
Now you're splitting hairs. It doesn't matter. You're splitting hairs. We all know what the Confederate flag looks like, or what everybody perceives to be a Confederate flag. If you say the Confederate flag, you know what people think of.
Right, but that's my point, is people don't know history to the point that they're whitewashing it. And it goes to, like, even my daughter, who last year in fifth grade had to read a passage about Jim Crow laws.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question was, how do you feel about this? That's not what learning and history is about. It's not about feeling. It's about knowledge and education. And don't ever let your heart overwhelm your mind. And that's what we're doing. I'm not a supporter in any way of these people running up and down white power, but you know what? The splitting hairs is what history is. That's what it's about. I mean, people are arguing over something. They don't even know what it is. I mean, like, to your point before, these anti-fascist people, this is like book burning in 1939. I mean, what are we just going to rip down everything that we don't like, or a part of our history that we don't like?
People take this, Jim. Let's take this. Suppose there were people there on the streets of Somerville, and they were waving flags with the swastika on it. How would that make you feel?
Yeah, it's idiotic. It's more idiotic. But you know what? That's part of your First Amendment, and people don't even know that. I mean, like, you had a guy, I don't know what show it was, but he went to Harvard and had people sign a petition to do away with their right to petition.
Right.
So to do away with the First Amendment is what it was, which is part of your right to petition, and they don't even know it. I mean, that's my point is, I agree. I wouldn't want anyone waving a Nazi flag or whatever it is in my face. I'm not standing up for that. But at the end of the day, you know, if you look at the history of that swastika, it was co-opted from India, which is a symbol. And people don't know that history.
But still, but that's gone. Yeah, that history of that symbol is gone. And the history of whatever history people associate with the Confederate flag, I hate to tell you this, but that's gone.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. My point is, I think everyone's letting their emotion get in the way of learning. And I don't think there's any learning anymore, even in the schools. I mean, to my point, like, you know, my daughter reads a passage about Jim Crow, which is factually accurate and historically accurate. And then they ask her how it makes her feel. That's
not what
history is about. It's about learning and knowledge.
I understand. I understand what you're saying. And I understand, Jim, I appreciate you calling in. I understand that you should have the right whatsoever, every right whatsoever, to stand up there and wave the Confederate flag in Somerville if you want to. That's, you know, your First Amendment. You should be able to do that. But then again, that person with the Black Lives Matter banner, they should have every right to stand up there and wave their flag if they want to. It's all about the First Amendment. And both sides should be able to do this equally without anyone resulting to violence. And for all those folks that are, you know, and this is the thing. You know, saw the video of that guy riding down the street in that black pickup truck yelling, "White power." That's what's wrong with people that wave the Confederate flag. You have allowed this to happen because you didn't stand up and make a stance to say, hey, no. You're not going to co-opt that flag to be a symbol of hatred. You're not going to co-opt that flag to be a symbol of racism. We're not going to allow you to do that. But that horse is out of the barn now. And you can sit back and talk about Confederate history and states' rights and yada, 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 all you want to. But we know that the vast majority of the vast majority of people in this country, that flag is an offensive symbol these days. Just as offensive as a lot of you feel about the Black Lives Matter flag and the Antifa flag and the anarchy flag that a lot of these people also fly. I hate to tell you that, and I hate to be the bearer of reality to you, but that's just the way it is. So if you had a neighbor, so let me just ask you, if you had a neighbor that had a big Confederate flag flying from their home, be honest with yourself here, what would your feelings toward that be? Would you make a judgment call on that person?
WTMA. Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 24 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's go to North Charleston and talk to Richard this morning. How are you, Richard?
Oh, pretty good. How you doing, Charlie?
Good. What's up, buddy?
I want to make a comment on that statement you made. It's something you said, this country or something is changing and you don't know where it's going to end or something like that.
Right.
Have you ever heard of this group called Generation Identity in France?
No. Uh-uh.
All right. They've got a website. What it is, the young generation, they back Le Pen.
Right.
It's a young generation that is growing. They're getting bigger and bigger in France. And they believe that it's wrong for the older generations to flood their country with immigrants and change their identity.
Right.
And this country, what's happening is all around the world, nationalism is growing.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen, the flag and all the Confederate flag and all this other stuff, that eventually will come to an end because people will open their eyes and see they're not living in the same country. And they'll be forced to join forces together.
Yeah. You're going to have to.
You have no choice.
All of us, we are all, you're right, Richard. Every one of us is going to have to come together because if things keep going the way they're going right now, we are going to all have a common enemy in this country.
You sure will. Look what's happening in, I think, Michigan, where they completely lost that.
Right. Minnesota, too.
That's right.
I mean, these immigrants that are coming in, they don't want to come here and be a part of this country. As much as the squabbling that goes back and forth between us, we don't want outsiders coming in trying to change everything.
And they want Sharia law. And when Sharia law comes in, they laugh about it. But when it comes in, females are going to have to open up their eyes. Males are going to have to open up their eyes, and they're going to have to make a decision. So you're going to be forced to. But that website, I go to it and watch it. That Generation Identity, you need to check it out, Charlie.
All right. We will certainly do that. Richard, I appreciate you calling in this morning. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. And Richard's right. There is a huge growing backlash among the younger generation because they're seeing what is happening to their countries. We're talking about over in France. We're talking about in Germany. We're talking about in Sweden and some of the Norwegian-type countries. They are seeing what's happening in their countries, and they don't like it. Now, the big fear here is that nationalism is going to give rise to some sort of a far-right-wing ideology. Well, you know what? That's what happens. When you get people that are so liberal and so for multiculturalism, the only thing it ever accomplishes is creating ghettos. And you're seeing it over in France right now. Because these people will come to this country and they don't want to live out in Beresford subdivision. They don't want to live there. They don't want to live out in, you know, whatever little subdivision is in, they don't want to live there because they don't want to be the only family there. So they want to gather together with all of the other immigrants from their nation, and they want to create their own little community. And that community is never, ever, 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 ever successful. When you come to a country, and that's why, you know, when people say this country was built on immigrants, you are absolutely right. 100% built on immigrants. Yes, agree with you 100%. We are a community of immigrants that wanted to come here and assimilate into the American culture. Now, the ones that didn't, and we're talking about, you know, you can go back and look at some of the immigrant communities in New York City at the turn of the century where immigrants were coming in. And again, they were all going, you know, had your Italian neighborhood, you had your Polish neighborhood, you had your Irish neighborhood. And how many of those were successful? It's only the ones that assimilated into this country and embrace the American culture, which, yes, we do have an American culture here. Those were the people that are successful. But, again, multiculturalism only leads to ghettos. So we'll talk a little bit more about this morning. Also this morning, got another family four-pack of tickets to give away to the Greek Festival, and we're going to be giving away a four-pack of tickets to the Charleston River Dogs, any 2017 home game. We'll be doing that coming up in just a little bit. Also, we got a big visitor coming to Charleston. A big one. I'm talking about big. It's huge.
1250 WTMA. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 19 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's go to the phones right now and talk with Alan. How are you, Alan? It is Alan, right? I'm right about that?
That's correct, yes.
All right, Alan, you are from the UK. Yes. What do the folks in the UK, how do they feel about what's going on with immigration and Brexit and the election of Macron right now?
Well, I voted for Brexit last summer, wanting to leave the European Union. One of my biggest issues was immigration. You know, we have to remember in the UK, we had colonialism.
Right.
So we did conquer these countries, you know, hundreds of years ago. And I guess through a little bit of guilt, we've allowed them to come into the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But what's been going on over the last generation or so is a complete and total non-integration with our culture. So much so that people are going to school and they're not even speaking English at school.
Right.
They're going to work. They're not communicating. Their culture is not mixing with ours. They don't go to the pub with us. They don't watch the same sports as us. And it's just like a black hole in our society.
Yeah.
And it's really frightening because I've been in and around America since 1979 when my mother and I immigrated here. And I can tell you now that America needs to wake up and understand what's about to happen to your country with Sharia law and the Muslim faith.
Right.
This is nothing against religious persecution or religious freedoms, but when you actually understand what a Muslim person believes in their faith, it holds everything in Western culture in contempt.
Mm-hmm.
They don't drink. They don't fornicate. You know, I'm not saying that that's a good thing. Honestly.
Right, yeah.
Everything we do in our culture, it goes against their belief system. And so when you start to legislate on beliefs and culture, you have to say, this is our society. If you want to be part of it, you have to integrate.
Right.
And if you're not going to integrate, you're not welcome here. I'm sorry. You're not welcome.
So, I heard at one point that basically London was going to be a completely Muslim country within the next, or a Muslim city within the next decade. What do you think about that statement?
That's pretty inaccurate, I must say.
Yeah.
The entire UK population in terms of Muslims only represents about 3%. You do have pockets throughout the United Kingdom, and that's just like you were mentioning in your earlier point about Polish communities, Italian communities, etc.
Right.
You do have that, but when you look at the birth rate of a Muslim family versus a Western family, and I'll give you a UK stat, for example, is the United Kingdom, we have about 1.7 children per family unit, whereas Muslim families have over 7. So it's not going to take very long before you're even actually outbred in your own country. And that's what's going to happen in America. And I'm really fearful for your country. I'm really fearful for your economy and overall the security of this nation, because it's the greatest nation on the planet.
Right.
And you've just, your back door is wide open and you just are letting it happen. And I just, it's appalling to see it happen.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking, definitely. Well, Alan, I appreciate you calling in and sharing your experience with us. Thank you very much, buddy. Don't be a stranger.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Alan calling in, he's been here in the United States for a while, but is a citizen of the UK, and he's right. I mean, it's not immigration. It's an infiltration by a lot, and that's the mindset of a lot of these people that are coming over to this country. It's just, and it's frustrating. And like he said, it was because of some colonial guilt that the folks in the UK have about their, you know, back when they were colonialist and they conquered these countries, that now they're letting them come in just haphazardly into the UK. And we're seeing Angela Merkel said that the future of Germany was Islam. She said that the leader of Germany said that the future of Germany is Islam. And when we see Sharia law and how that's enacted and enforced throughout the world, that's a scary, scary proposition.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 9 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's go real quick out to Rodney in Goose Creek. How are you, Rodney?
Hey, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
Listen, you know, the thing that disturbs me about what's going on is, when have we seen proof that just making a law is effective in removing hate or prejudice from the human heart?
Right. You can't. I mean, you can't legislate morality. You can't right. legislate hate.
And I'm a Christian, but you know, I understand that people created in the image of God,
mm-hmm.
and that I have no right force them to believe anything. But I do have a command from my Savior to love even those people who hate me,
right,
who persecute me, mm-hmm. or whatever. And that's the way that goes. You know, we got family love, we got brotherly love. We oftentimes miss the love of God and what it can do in a person's heart.
Right.
Just look at the martyrs that died for Christ over the question of Caesar or Christ. They died with great joy, and I think they were wanting the best for their persecutors. And it's just not effective to make a law and expect that to solve the kind of problems that we're dealing with.
Right. Yeah, right, Rodney. I appreciate you calling in. Let's go to John Steinberger. Going to be something going on tomorrow night out at Citadel Mall talking about West Ashley. Good morning, John. How are you?
Oh, doing great, Charlie. It's even a little earlier than that. It's tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay. Tomorrow morning.
Out at the center court portion of Citadel Mall under J.C. Penney.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a wrap-up. Well, it's called a work in progress on the West Ashley Master Plan.
Right.
Four community workshops attended by 550 people. There's just huge enthusiasm to making West Ashley a better place to live, a better place to shop, better place for business. The Citadel Mall is a great symbol for West Ashley. It's got local ownership for the first time in its history, and we're optimistic that the Citadel Mall will be just a sparkling symbol for West Ashley and Charleston and bring things back.
Do you think, John, getting Citadel Mall back up and running and being successful, how crucial do you think that is to the development of West Ashley?
Oh, it's very important. It's kind of like a flagship of the area for mm-hmm. retail, and everybody wants to see better retail opportunities, better restaurants, and now you have local ownership committed to making it work. They're going to build
right.
a new event center and make it a centerpiece of West Ashley's revitalization. So it's a great opportunity. Like I said, lots of people in the community got together and offered real suggestions for what we can do to improve West Ashley, and a planning group that's done the facilitating is going to present a summary tomorrow, 10 o'clock, Center Court, Citadel Mall, and hope lots of people show up for that. And then we have to keep involved and make sure that everything's followed through.
Right. Have you had any feedback from the council members?
Yes, the council members have been attending these sessions. And they're listening to people, and you know, they understand we've got a lot of work to do, and we need to listen and be responsive, and I see that happening. And there's plenty of money available. There's a tax incremental finance district that goes from the mall to the North Bridge, and
Brian.
We have a 2% restaurant tax. That money can be used for landscaping and redevelopment. So there are lots of possibilities here, and there's been so much community involvement that we can't let it fade away. But I hope people show up tomorrow morning and hear that presentation.
All right, so that's tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock at the Center Court Citadel Mall.
That's right.
All right, thank you, John. We appreciate it. Thank you, buddy. It's about 4.5 minutes until 9 o'clock. We got a big visitor coming to Charleston. And when I say big, I'm talking about 1,200 feet. 1,200 feet. The biggest ship ever to call East Coast ports is set to pass through the Charleston Harbor. The 1,200-foot-long Costco development, you can get anything at Costco. Oh, my gosh. I had no idea you could go buy a 1,200-foot ship. Well, it's expected to dock at the Wando Welch Terminal this weekend. It'll go to Savannah, then it's going to come here. It is 158 feet wide. Listen to this. It can transport up to 13,092 20-foot equivalent units or those containers, the TEUs, when they depart on Monday, April the 15th. Now, Charleston Harbor's depth and width will allow a vessel like the Costco development to be loaded with the heavy export cargo before it begins its journey back to Asia. This, according to the South Carolina Ports Authority, officials say that the boat marks a new era of these big ships for which they've been preparing. We've been trying to get ready for these things for several years. And, of course, we remember after the Panama Canal was widened, they had these what they call post-Panamax ships, and I guess that is one of these. But this is a big one. This is a big one. This past April was the Ports Authority's strongest April in its history and had volumes the second highest ever handled by the port. And I thought I heard... Now, this ship is the biggest, and it's going to have about 13 of these containers, 13,000 containers. I may be wrong about this, but I heard we actually had a smaller ship that had about 18,000 containers on it this past month. And you can, listen, 1,200 feet long, 158 feet wide. That is two Washington monuments, one Eiffel Tower, let's see, eight Statues of Liberty long. That's how big this thing is. You can explain to me the laws of buoyancy all you want to. You can sit back and tell me everything about the law of buoyancy. I still don't understand how these things float. First of all, they're made of steel. Last I checked, steel doesn't float. And then not only are the ships made of steel, they put steel containers on them. I wonder how much each one of these containers weighs. Because we see them coming in on the trains, right? 13,000 of those? How does this thing? I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't understand how they float. Really? That's amazing to me.
Well, it's got to do with displacement, Charlie. If the ship displaces more water than what it... Blah, 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 blah.
I still don't understand how it floats. I don't understand the laws of nature that allow this to happen. But it's going to be a big one. Man, 1,200 feet long. Good gracious. I was up, I think the highest I've ever been, I was at the World Trade Center back before 9/11. In fact, about a year before 9/11, I was at the World Trade Center. So I guess that's the highest up I've ever been, you know, and not be getting cart service from the flight staff there. All right, it's 8:59, going on 9 o'clock. Coming up, we're going to be talking more about the arrest of Ken Glasson last night. His bond hearing is going to be at 10 o'clock this morning. third-degree sexual battery. We'll explain what that is and the details around this arrest coming up last night. We'll have that for you in just a second. Plus, I've got tickets to the River Dogs and the Greek Festival to give away.